Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU, and thanks for joining us this week. I'm joined again this week by James DeBoer, our Sports Information Director, and we've got a hodgepodge of things to cover today. Most of it's going to be recapping where we've been with some of the activities, the teams, and what they're up to. A little bit of analysis about moving into conference play for some of the teams already, unfortunately, or fortunately, looking ahead to the end of the season. Tournament time is probably just around the corner. We'd certainly like spring to be here. And it hasn't quite arrived, at least to the best of my knowledge. A few inches of snow this past Monday. Call for some more on this Sunday or Monday. Certainly glad we have the baseball and softball tarps, although I think both baseball and softball teams learned a little something about wind and tarps the other day. I didn't get a chance to see it, but they said that as they looked down from the tennis courts towards the baseball field, their tarp was just hovering about 8 or 10 feet off the ground. And I know that softballs ended up in a heap in center field. And I know it took the baseball team about 45 minutes to get there sort of straightened out. I'm not sure whether there was – they forgot to take the sandbags off the corners or what. But anyway, it has not been great weather for outdoor sports. Let me put it that way. Maybe we should have stayed in Florida a little bit longer. You never know. But let's start by recapping some of what's been happening. Let's jump into baseball and softball. James, give us whatever scores or information you have that you want to talk about over the last week, and then we'll make a couple comments about conference play.
Well, sure. Both teams had a pretty successful – I mean, you talk about conference. Both teams had a pretty successful non-conference part of their schedule. Softball finally played their first conference games this week, just a couple days ago, and baseball has played a handful over the last couple of weeks. But for the most part, it's been non-conference games for both of our diamond sports, and they've done pretty well. Baseball, they went 11-8 before playing in Shenandoah earlier this week. So if you look at it, they're 10-7 in non-conference play. And I think we've all been pretty pleased so far with the baseball team. They won 11 games each the last three seasons, and they already have 11 wins this season, 10 of them non-conference. So a pretty solid start for the baseball team under new coach Ben Spots, and we'll definitely talk more about them. They ran into a pretty good Shenandoah team this past week, and the Shenandoah Hornets, over the years, we've had some good games against them. We've had some games that just don't go so well, and I think that's kind of the way it is with the Hornets. They're always in the national rankings, and it just seems like you have to be on your game. Well, the interesting part is we played Shenandoah last week here at home. We started against them, and it was tied 4-4 after nine innings of play. Well, by then, the sun was going down, so they halted the game, was the official term, and finished it off this week at Shenandoah. And so for the innings they played here in Harrisonburg, the Royals were on their game. They made a couple of errors, and but they were on their game. It was tied 4-4. Well, they went up to Shenandoah, and it's just something switched, and they weren't on their game, and you can't do that against Shenandoah. And that extra inning, it was wild. The 10th inning, each team scored three runs, and then Shenandoah scored, I think it was six in the 11th inning to roll away. 13-7 was the final score. It was 4-4 after nine innings. But that's one of the things, and you just have to be on your game at all times against Shenandoah, and we'll see how that plays out as the baseball team gets into their conference schedule. Of course, not everyone quite as good as Shenandoah in the Old Dominion Athletic Conference, but you still have to be on your game at all times, and we'll just see how that plays out for the guys. This will definitely be the fun part for them.
Yeah, well, it was interesting to talk about, because I think you made a comment about the baseball team maybe being a little bit surprising in terms of how well they have been doing, given the fact that you got a new coach and you've got some defections and you've got, you know, unsettled where you going headed, all that. And then they come up with, like you say, matching their season total already before that. And it was interesting because then in my conversations with Coach Spots about that, he said that one of the things that occurred at Shenandoah was they actually were trying to do more than what they were really capable of doing. So they were trying to make the extra play. So, for instance, first and third, they were trying to make the play at second, or they were trying to turn the DP, et cetera, and that sort of thing. And it's interesting that he sort of surmised that they really played very well. And suddenly that gets you into this mode, well, now I can do anything sort of thing, or now I can take it up to the next ratchet. And his emphasis has been all along, take care of what you can do. do what you can do. I mean, they are not as talented a team as what a lot of the schools in the institutions have in the conference. So they know that their best their competition is really going to get stiff as they go into conference play. You're going to have to take care of what you're capable of taking care of. And it's interesting that after they got a little bit, seemed like, no one ever knows these things, but it seems like as soon as they got a little bit more confidence, then they tried to step it up and take the next play. And that's not all bad. But in this case, as we recounted inning by inning with Coach Spots, both in the ending of the first game and then playing the second game, which they lost by a lot, they were in it. Mm-hmm. It was 5-5 again after, I think, the third or fourth inning or something like that. And then it snowballed. And he indicated that it seemed like people were trying to do a little bit more than they're really capable of doing. And that comes from the confidence level that you have. So you want the kids to have confidence. Right. But if they then try something that they probably aren't ready for, whether that be a defensive play, a fielding play, a throwing, a pitcher, trying to throw somebody out at the base, whatever. And so I found that to be very interesting, that that's where he kind of sees they're at, that if they can stay competitive and be in it, his goal is to be in every ball game at the end and then see what happens. Mm-hmm. And he's contending that they can do that if they'll just stay within their own abilities and do what's taken care of. So that was an interesting learning about how kids move beyond what they're really doing, particularly in this baseball line. And I'd say it probably relegates to most sports as well. It's an interesting sidelight.
Well, yeah, as you talked about that, it made me think of the past basketball season. We saw some things in basketball as well. And you mentioned that the baseball team maybe doesn't have the talent of everybody else, of some of the bigger institutions in the conference. You're not saying we're going to lose all our games. That's the interesting thing. I always forget that, is that you're not saying we're going to lose them, because just because you have a lot of talent doesn't mean you're going to win the game. There's a whole lot more that goes into the game than besides how physically gifted you are.
Well, I would also say one of the other things that I talked to Ben Spots last week. We had him on the podcast, and I'm not sure if we talked a little bit about how to start turning the program around. And one of the things that I've noticed, and I'm trying to remember if I mentioned it or not, was he has really structured his practices and his games in a way that I'm not sure the guys are quite used to. And what that has done in his mind is you have to pay attention to every detail, because he's got some groups coming for practice at this time and some at this time, and then those go to the dining hall and the others come in and get your innings in, and then you go do this. And you really have to stay on top of everything. And that's what he's been emphasizing. So you're absolutely right. He understands where the talent level is. He believes that if they stay focused on what they're capable of doing and do it well, they can be in every ball game. And so, it's interesting to see. And even as we get into the whole March Madness thing and you begin to look at the 14s and the 13s over the tops of the threes, et cetera, you begin to look at some of those are just unique situations. But it's the question is, can you do what you normally do well? And so the same thing would be true. Indiana's going up against our own James Madison University right here from Harrisonburg, and we'll see what happens with that. But I think it's really interesting to see how the baseball program is starting to turn by paying attention to those things and just staying within yourself and doing what you can do. It's probably a valuable lesson we can use for anywhere else as well. So, no, they're going to have a tough road, there's no doubt about it, in conference play. And, of course, we're all looking forward to that first matchup with Bridgewater and the two head coaches. He's still thinking about that one a little bit. So.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned making a mistake or two and things snowballing. That makes me think of softball, and in a different way for us. Our women also playing at Shenandoah earlier this week on Wednesday. And it's so interesting. The first game was kind of a pitcher's duel, one or two mistakes, a 4-2 loss for us, pretty close game. Second game, we trailed 1-0 after the first inning. In the second inning, we scored 12 runs. I think we batted 15 players. It's just and talk about a snowball. And it wasn't so much that Shenandoah kept making errors. They made one or two errors early in the inning, and that's when our women just said, hey, we can hit singles. And no one was crushing home runs or triples or doing crazy things. It was just a bunch of singles and maybe a few walks here and there, and everybody just kept hitting the ball. And so it snowballed differently, but in a good way for our women. And so after losing the first game against Shenandoah, they come out with a 5-inning mercy rule win at 17-6. So it's a lot of fun to see things go differently. And the men have done that some. We've seen the women do that as well, where they just suddenly get in a groove and everything clicks, and they're not trying to every pitch get mashed over the fence or something like that. They're just doing what they're supposed to do, and it snowballs in a good way for them. Another thing I definitely want to note from the softball team, later on in the second game against Shenandoah, Courtney Allman hit another home run. She's got 5 this season. But the most important thing is that she has taken over the career home run mark at EMU. And I know that all coaches tell their players you don't want to swing for the fences every time. Right. I'm sure JD would say the same thing right. to Courtney. But I know that he's also very proud of her and her accomplishments. She's been a power hitter ever since she stepped on campus in a freshman season. And so it's been a lot of fun to see her. And partially it's a lot of fun just to see the softball program over the last few years, because who previously held the record was Lisa Lee, who just graduated last year. And Lisa held the record. And the power hitting numbers for our softball team have just gone through the roof in the last few years. And maybe that's just not the way we built our teams a decade ago. But our women, the last few years, the players JD has recruited can just hit the ball. And so it's a lot of fun. Courtney has 5 this year. I think her season record, which she also holds as the season home run record, is 9 for the program. So she's got that inside as well. But she already owns the career mark for EMU players.
Well, maybe the next thing that's going to happen to softball, if that's the case, and I haven't studied this at all, maybe you might know, is if the power numbers are up across the board and everywhere, then they're going to start deadening the bats like they did with baseball. And we're going to go back to, I know that it's sort of a really bizarre system right now. I think it's every week or every 2 weeks we get an updated approved bat list from the NCAA, which we've been fighting for years, because it makes no sense that all of a sudden you've purchased a $350 bat and the next week it comes out as being not approved. So we're working on that to try to get it done. But that may be the answer, and maybe somebody's going to look at that and find out that power numbers are up across the board and it's got something to do with bats, which, again, I will also just editorially say that I think it's a scheme by the bat business anyway, that they've now had to come out with all kinds of new deadened bats in baseball. And Ben has already told me he's starting to see it go the other direction, a little more lively. You wait and see, they're going to go up again. The whole point is everybody's got to buy new bats all the time. So anyway, that's my
conspiracy theory for the day.
That's right. It's a conspiracy theory from the athletic director who has to manage the budget all the time. Well, let's get to some other sports that are going on this spring. Pick up whatever you want to pick up at.
Track and field is at a great restart for the outdoor season. They took a little break after the indoor championships in late February. And this past weekend, they went down to Roanoke. Not a lot of teams there, but our teams did very well. The men actually won the team title. The women finished 3rd out of 5 teams. So we're still seeing that snowball effect that started back in cross country season. And Coach Jason Lukowitz building a great program of runners in cross country. A lot of those players on the track and field teams, as well as some of the other jumpers and throwers that we have. And so it's fun to see the track program continue to rebuild. They're having a busy weekend, but the nice part is if you want to see our Royal Tracksters, this is the weekend to do it, because most of the meets are close. Today already, Friday, they're down in Lexington at a meet kind of co-hosted by VMI and Washington and Lee. I think they're sending some to that as well on Saturday. But then Saturday, the main body of athletes is going down to Bridgewater for the Jobson Invitational. And so, I mean, that's as close as we get. I mean, the Royals aren't hosting right now. And so if you want to see the track athletes, head on down to Bridgewater. Got a great big grandstand. You got plenty of room to watch. And and actually, I think tomorrow, Saturday, is supposed to be a pretty nice weather day. It could be the nicest day for a week or two here. So
it would be a great time to see them, and that is really one of the excitements that's going on in the department. About 4 o'clock every day, the whole place just sort of becomes a buzz with noise, and it's because the track athletes are all coming together to get their workout plans and go out. And so that's just something we haven't seen here for a long time, and to have that many student athletes again, just a reminder that we don't put a lot of emphasis on how the team did as much as the individuals, because again, you're sending a few to this meet and a few to that meet. As you said, there were only 4 or 5 teams down in Lynchburg, and it there isn't anything related to conference. Right. That even though Lynchburg was there and we beat them, there isn't any. It all comes down to the conference meet and who wins that particular one. So we emphasize a lot more the individual performances and their they're having people, some throwers will go to this one, some runners will go to this one. They're asking people to go half or three quarter speed. I think you wrote the article today on Michael Allen that, you know, said that he placed second or third in the long jump, but he was told to use
triple
it.
Jump,
triple jump. I'm sorry. He won the long jump.
Yeah.
Triple jump. They told him to just back off a little bit to get his steps right in preparation for the next one. So it is sort of interesting that you only get to do this once a weekend and all the preparation work that goes into, and then you only get three jumps. And so, you know, everything's got to be right. So you work as much, I think, on your timing and your steps and all that. So we don't emphasize the team as much as we do how are the individuals doing, and then how they are preparing for the conference meet.
Let's jump into a couple of the other sports, men's volleyball and golf, which has restarted as well. But men's volleyball has been on a little bit of a break. They had that busy weekend 2 weekends ago hosting the CVC East weekend and then playing at Stevenson a couple days later. So they've had a little break and now back into action. So we'll see. Our guys are really wrapping up the regular season. They're at a tournament at Stevenson up in Maryland, Baltimore area this weekend. So if you're in that area, check them out. But after that, all we have left is another round of conference games in early April, and then we hit their conference tournament, et cetera, et cetera. So the end of the season is very quickly approaching for the volleyball men. So we've got the senior-laden team. Didn't perform quite as well as they had hoped for at the CVC East weekend here. So we'll see. They can regroup. It's a small pool of teams in the conference. So a couple of nice wins will just shove them right back into the conference race.
Well, certainly they had to feel good about going up to Stevenson and taking them to five games.
Yeah, they played very well there.
And they played well there and hadn't played as well here in conference play. Again, the flow of play and everything else is very unique to the men's volleyball, where it's all based upon that 1-2 weekends that you get together and play, and everything else leads up to that. So, I think it was interesting, just a side light on men's volleyball. I got the schedule for next year, and there will be some revamping because Marymount will be coming in.
That's right.
And we're actually going away from these weekend conference situations, and we're actually going to have many more home matches. And we're doing travel partners. So Marymount and us are travel partners. So we'll go up to play Teal one night on a Friday and then go to Juniata on Saturday and come home, and Marymount will go Juniata and Teal. And so they have the travel partners there. So we're going to have a lot more home contests for next year. Again, that's already talking about next year, but there are some changes coming in there as we've added a couple of teams to the CVC, and so we'll look at that a little bit later. But that's probably as tough mentally as anything else, because in high school you're just very accustomed to the weekly pattern of a match on midweek and a match on a Friday or something like that. And here it's you spend much more time in practice. And again, they continue to grow as they have a new coach and is trying new strategies and things like that.
And then the golf teams, the women will open up play for their spring season this weekend at a meet hosted by Randolph-Macon, or a tournament, what they call them in golf. But the men had a very successful weekend this past weekend, playing down in the Lynchburg area in Forest. A handful of teams there, and then a couple of D1 unattached players. But our men had the best score of day two, and jumped up a spot and finished second overall. Definitely, I would say, you don't want to call it the crowning point of the season, but definitely I would say that's got to be a high point so far of our very young program. Just a very successful start to the spring season. Not a big spring season for the men or the women. They each have two tournaments before the ODAC Championships, which is at the end of April. So they jump right into it in a hurry, but what an exciting weekend for the golfers.
No, it really was, and this particularly given how bad the weather was. I mean, it was
terrible.
Awful.
I couldn't believe they were playing, Dave.
Well, I texted him a couple times just to make sure that everything was still on and okay, and he was very fortunate that we went ahead and bought rain suits for the team this year because they put them on right away, and I do think that was part of it is for what and to see a young team do that. I mean, these people haven't played competitively since high school, a lot of them. And so it's sort of like, okay, do I really want to be out here? And he said the other teams were really grousing about needing to be out there and why don't they cancel it and all that. Mm-hmm. Our guys went out there and played really well on the worst day that there was out there. So no, that's certainly an excitement piece. We're really, really hitting in many of the sports. We're really, really hitting the recruiting hard. I know I mention it just about every week, but it's amazing. I think men's basketball has about 7 recruits on campus this weekend, and we continue to work at that. Soccer's got a couple coming in. We're looking at those numbers, seeing where they're at. And again, now becomes really the sales pitch, because everybody's gotten their financial aid packages. And now comes the rubber's hitting the road, and all the people that have said they really like the MU and a nice visit and love to play here and all that, now they're coming down and making their comparisons between our financial aid package and somebody else, and how can I afford it? And so the coaches go into overdrive in terms of salesmanship, and I can sit here most every evening and hear them on the phone. Hey, can we sit down and talk before you say no to our financial aid package? Can we look at this? And it's a really, really emotional time for coaches because they've worked hard for these kids on some of these kids, and then they get the phone call and say, Coach, we're going somewhere else. And and then there's just as many, hopefully there's just as many call and say, hey, Coach, we're coming. So it is a very, very emotional time for almost all the coaches, because whether you are a fall sport or a spring sport, winter sport, whatever it is, now is when people are making the decision if they haven't already committed. And to agree, there is no letter of intent, Division III. So even if they called back in January and said, hey, we're committed to come to you, now they get the award letter, and it's like, I don't know if we can do this. So we're working hard with it. Kudos to the financial aid office for working with it and trying to explain the system and how to compare their actual award package with someone from another school, whether it be an ODAC school or not, to make sure you're comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. And then somehow you just have to really begin to convince. I just met with a family this morning, and it is really difficult to know exactly how to demonstrate or how to say what makes us different from some other school, because they're all going to put out the red carpet. They're all going to introduce them to the athletic director and the president and everybody else like that. And I had to tell the family, you know, unfortunately, it's hard for me to say, to show you what it is. But there is a level of care about your son. And I asked this mother, I said, what has your son, how has your son grown through basketball? And she told me he's become